There are a number of different building blocks upon which a life of faith can be built, and one important one is living in community, which I'll focus on in my message to you today. We need each other in order to grow in our faith because it's not something we can do alone. And Acts chapter 2 provides a good example of what life in community looks like. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to the second chapter of Acts. I'll read verses 42 through 47, and the words will also appear on the screen. But let's listen now to this scripture passage. Again, it's Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to the number those who were being saved. Amen. The book of Acts tells us the story of the birth and the growth of the Christian church. And there's a huge jump in the number of Christians from chapter 1 to chapter 2. The number of Christians had exploded from 120 to 3,000 following a sermon that Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost. And this led to a period of intense discipleship. Acts provides a snapshot of what life was like in that community. And that helps us think about how we should live in community with each other. Those first Christians, whom the book of Acts refers to as men and women of the way, were devoted. But what does it mean to be devoted? Well, by definition, the word devoted means that we are totally committed. We're fully invested. And so when it comes to following Jesus, we need to be all in. We can't do it half-heartedly. Now, we see a glimpse of this when Jesus encountered a couple of people who wanted to be his disciples. This is found in Luke chapter 9. One person said he wanted to follow Jesus, but he had to attend a funeral first. Another person said he would follow, but he had to say goodbye to his family. Jesus knew that neither one was fully invested in following him. And so he said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, this wasn't an issue with the first Christians. The early church was made up of people who were totally committed. They were devoted. Now, the Greek word used for devoted in verse 42 is the word proskartero. It literally means they were continually devoting themselves. They kept on going. They persisted in their discipleship regardless of any hardship or obstacle. The same word is used again in verse 46 where it says, "Day by day they spent much time in the temple." And the phrase "spent much time" really is a clumsy way of translating this Greek word, but the idea here is that these new Christians devoted themselves to worship and discipleship by gathering at the temple every day. They kept at it. They didn't give up. And this verse in the NIV is translated as "they continued to meet together." And the Message Bible renders that same verse, "they followed a daily discipline of worship." Now, these are all different ways and good ways to think about what it means to be devoted. You know, I think when we start the journey of discipleship, we are eager to learn and grow. But as we mature, there can be a temptation to become lax in our commitment. We may even become lukewarm, which is a dangerous place to be. In the book of Revelation, we read about the church at Laodicea. They were criticized for being lukewarm in their faith. They didn't live with the same level of commitment that we see described here in Acts chapter 2. Revelation chapter 3 describes what happened to this church at Laodicea. In verses 15 and 16 read, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." The people of the first century would have known exactly what that meant. There were hot springs near Laodicea that the people used to refresh themselves. This hot water was perfect for a bath. But as the water from those springs flowed downhill, it became lukewarm by the time it reached Laodicea. It wasn't good for a hot bath. It was useless. Jesus wants those who follow him to be hot in their faith, or in other words, to be devoted. Being part of a Christian community helps nurture this. Our community holds us accountable, and it encourages us to be committed and devoted to God. Now, the Christian community described in Acts demonstrated their devotion in a variety of ways. And Acts tells us that these first Christians were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And the focus of the apostles' teaching was on the life and teachings of Jesus. That's where our focus should be. We should want to know all we can about Jesus. The early Christians didn't need to be told to do this. They wanted to study. They had a need for God's word. They were looking to be fed. And the Bible is clear on the importance of study. Every day we should read, reflect, and meditate on these words. And we find an example of this in Psalm 119, where it says, "I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." And Joshua 1:8 gives us another example. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful." Now, I think some people can be intimidated by studying the Bible because it can seem like it's a hard book to understand. And that's why it's helpful to study the Bible together in community. We can learn from each other. We can offer new insights and perspectives that help each other grow. And let's keep in mind that studying is an essential part of our discipleship. Now, the first Christians extended their devotion from Bible study to the dinner table. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Verse 46 says, "They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts." Now, we Baptists, I think, have latched on to this idea. We love food, and we're always looking for opportunities to eat and fellowship around the table. Now, the kind of fellowship that's described here in Acts chapter 2 was known in the Greek-speaking world of the first century as koinonia. It's the kind of fellowship where people talk about their faith journey and other religious matters, as well as anything else. And the value of koinonia is that it builds people up and it creates community. Something would be wrong if we didn't practice this kind of fellowship. Our tables should always be open to each other. And that extends to the Lord's Supper, which is another way to understand what it means to fellowship around the table. Sharing communion builds up community, and it helps us experience Christ in ways different from Bible study. And the first Christians were devoted to practicing table fellowship in all of these ways, and we should do the same. And the book of Acts links this with generosity, which is another sign of the devotion that's present in the early Christian community. Now, going back to verse 46, it says that they ate their food with glad and generous hearts. They were glad to be with each other. They were thankful for the food and the fellowship, and they were generous. In fact, they were radical with their generosity. Verse 45 says they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Now let's remember that those first Christians expected Christ to return at any moment, and thus they didn't see any need to hang on to their personal possessions. 2,000 years later, we've inherited a system where the church has lots of possessions, like buildings and endowments, that are intended to be used for decades, if not longer. But this should not detract from our generosity. The early church experienced explosive growth in part because of their gratitude and generosity. They showed people the love of God by graciously and cheerfully sharing their possessions and giving to those in need. And it paid dividends. The Christian community grew by leaps and bounds. And it is one of the steps that we can take to grow the church in the world today. Now, the book of Acts certainly helps us think about how we're called to live in community. As we've discussed, it involves devotion. It requires a commitment to study, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. I haven't really said much about that last one, but we are called to be a people of prayer. We should be rooted in prayer. And all of these things really are essential to living together as a community. But Acts also gives us a lesson on how to measure the health of a community. It's one thing to gather as a community, but it needs to be a healthy community. And Acts gets us looking and thinking about what a healthy community looks like. And as we read through the book of Acts, one of the things that stands out the most is the love that these Christians shared with each other and with their neighbors. Now, out of love, they invited all kinds of people to worship, fellowship, and eat together. And out of love, they made sure that there was no needy people among them. These are pretty good signs of a healthy community. An equally important measure of health is described in verse 43, where it says, "Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done." Now, that sounds like something out of a fairy tale. Think about the times when you have experienced awe and wonder. You know, those are sacred moments. But it may feel like those don't happen enough. Well, the early church was filled with awe and wonder because they were witnesses to the work of God. They recognized what the Lord was doing. Gregory Boyle is the founder of Homeboy Industries, and he's dedicated his ministry to serving gang members in Southern California. He believes that the ultimate measure of health in any community resides in our ability to stand at awe at what folks have to carry rather than in judgment at how they carry it. And I think he's right. Now, we should be in awe at what folks have to carry around because some people are carrying things that are really heavy and hard to handle. And it amazes me that they can keep moving forward. But it shows me that God is helping them carry the load. And that's where our focus should be. One time, Gregory Boyle was invited to speak about gangs to 600 social workers in Richmond, Virginia. And he brought along one of his trainees, a man named Sergio, and he asked him to tell his story. Sergio was in his mid-20s. He was a gang member who had spent time in prison. He'd been homeless. He dealt with heroin addiction. He was 9 years old when he was first arrested for assault and breaking and entering. When Sergio stood up, he began his story by talking about the poor relationship he had with his mother. Now, they didn't get along, and there were good reasons for this. When he was 6 years old, she looked at him and said, "Why don't you just kill yourself? You're such a burden to me." He proceeded to tell that group of social workers that when he was 9, his mom left him at an orphanage, and he was stuck there for 3 months until his grandmother figured out what had happened and she rescued him. Now, the abuse that he had experienced from his mother had left him deeply wounded, both emotionally and physically. See, his mom had beat him every day during his elementary school years. His back was so bloodied and so scarred that he had to wear 3 t-shirts to school every day to cover up all the blood. And he continued to wear 3 t-shirts every day, even into his adult years, because he was so ashamed of his wounds. He didn't want anyone to see them. But then a change started to happen. He opened up, and he began to experience healing, thanks in part to the ministry that Gregory Boyle shared with him. Sergio ended his talk to those social workers by saying this, and I'll quote for you. "I now welcome my wounds. They are my friends. After all, how can I help others to heal if I don't welcome my own wounds?" And it was at that moment that awe and wonder came upon everyone who was listening to Sergio talk. Living in community with each other gives us the opportunity to see how the Lord is helping people carry heavy things. It gives us the opportunity to witness the work that God's doing. And the natural response to these things is awe and wonder. We need Christian community because it not only shows us how to live, but it opens our eyes to the presence of God. And that builds up our faith. Perhaps today is the day for you to make a commitment or to renew a commitment to living in Christian community. It can be a life-changing experience that will draw you closer to the Lord, and it will certainly help you experience the abundant life. I extend that invitation to you. Will you make that commitment or renew that commitment today? The world needs a devoted church. If we live with that kind of devotion, great things can happen. And that's what the Lord is inviting us to be and to do. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the witness of the early church who lived with great devotion to you. Their example provides inspiration and guidance in how we should live together. So help us find ways to share this gift of community with other people, because it is something that we all need. It draws us closer to you, and it helps to build us up. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.